Donald Trump returns to the world stage on Immaculate Conception Weekend and in a fully restored Notre Dame Cathedral. What does it all mean? And what does Our Lady have to do with any of it? By the way, what exactly is the rapture? And are the Christian Zionists pushing for World War III to fulfill end times prophecy? Tonight, Armageddon in the Holy Land.
This is going to get us thrown off the air. Right, Walt?
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt. This is The Remnant Underground with an important reminder.
Don't you ever let anybody take your power from you. You have the same power that you did before November 5th. And you have the same purpose that you did.
Got it, Cammy. Thanks very much. Thanks, and do call us when the shuttle lands. So this actually is fun. While Kamala Harris, you'll remember, couldn't be bothered to attend the Al Smith dinner during the run-up to the last election, Donald Trump today is in Paris. Get this. He's in Paris for the grand opening of the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris on the feast of, wait for it, the Immaculate Conception. Donald Trump at a Te Deum in Paris. This is amazing. Friends, you know what? I don't need to have a bunch of people come in here and tell me, don't fall for it, man. This is just a show. It doesn't matter. This is not about the politicians who are there so much. What it's about is the fact that the champions of this vaunted Christophobic New World Order of ours, they just can't shut this lady up, can they? And that's why it gets so exciting. That's why it's so awesome. Because there she is again. At the center of it all, world leaders gathering in the Catholic Church, burdened, broken, burned, but not defeated. The most powerful princes of the world, friends, think about it, rendezvousing at the historic front line, by the way, of the traditional Catholic counter-revolution, the Star Pilgrimage. And there she is, Notre Dame. Hated by the Christian Zionists, loved by the traditional Catholics, the maternal intermediary, holding back the vengeful arm of her son in the world today, as if to say to all of us, stand with him, stand with my son now, and the church will rise from the ashes of the New World Order, just as the cathedral rose up from the ashes. Friends, there's something here. There's a, like I always say, I'm not a signs and wonders guy, but holy cow, this is pretty cool. And I want to get into this a little bit. But first, we're going to have a word from on tonight's sponsor. Charity Mobile is America's premier pro-life phone company. They've got 30 years in the business, and they have a special offer for Remnant viewers. If you switch to Charity Mobile today, you'll get a free phone with free activation, plus free shipping. And just for Christmas, new activations get a free travel charging kit. So through the end of the year, you can get a free phone, free activation, free shipping, and a free travel charging kit. Just go to charitymobile.com/RTV and use the code RTV at checkout. Donald Trump and Notre Dame. What does that mean? What's the takeaway? Well, my thinking is, and I hope you'll give this some prayerful thought, my thinking is that this could very well be, I mean, I know what some people are saying, it's like the Lepanto redo, there's going to be world war and they need to like enlist Our Lady or something. Well, that's cynical. We're not going to go there yet. Let's look at it instead as a sign from heaven that all of us, no matter how you voted for the last election, no matter if you voted for Trump or not, that all of us need to pray for Donald Trump sincerely. And pray specifically that he'll fight on the one thing that really, really blew people apart, on the children of light, if you will, the Klans.
First of all, the Supreme Court just approved the abortion pill, and I agree with their decision to have done that, and I will not block it.
No matter how you voted, you know that we all opposed that compromise. That we all agreed then, even if you voted for him, we agreed to fight it out over this, over the course of the next 4 years, to get the Republican Party, to get our side, the good guys, fully engaged in the fight for life, because that is the fight for the rights of God, right? We went over that and over it, right? So And why is it? When Trump and Vance, when they approve mifepristone, there's a possibility that this being a supercharged election year, that they didn't fully understand what this little evil pill is all about. So I want to just spend a few minutes catching people up on what it's about, because there are some appointments now that have been made that would at least suggest that this administration may well pull back from any support for, again, this evil little pill.
At Planned Parenthood, we trust you to make your own decisions about your body and your health. Step one, take the first pill, mifepristone. Swallow your mifepristone pill like any other pill. Mifepristone stops your pregnancy from continuing to develop. Step three, take the four misoprostol pills. Misoprostol will lead to cramping and bleeding, which empties your uterus. Place it in your vagina 0 to 48 hours after taking the mifepristone. You should expect cramping and bleeding to start within 4 hours after you take the misoprostol. Over the next few days, bleeding should slow down and your cramps should go away.
This evil little pill is turning the homes, our homes, into abortuaries. And this is something I hadn't thought of before. Literally, you're not at the Planned Parenthood clinic anymore. You're not the sterile white jackets anymore. You're in your house. You're a little kid. You're a little 16-year-old terrified kid turning your bedroom, turning your bathroom into an abortuary. You see? A dangerous place from which they often are taken by ambulance, right, for treatment because it's so brutal after they take these little harmless medications, right?
This is a study that was published just in August of 2024 this year using a large Medicaid database. And what this really showed is that consistent with national trends, both the number and the acuity or the severity, the reasons that women are having to go to the emergency department after using these dangerous abortion drugs is on the rise. It's increasing. Women aren't just showing up to get because they're scared, they're worried. They're showing up at the ED so sick. We have got to educate the public, our patients, and our colleagues on how to best care for these women. Because last year, over 60% of the abortions in America were using these abortion drugs.
You see how evil and sinister this is and dangerous this is. And if the Christian men of this country, if we will not stand up against this pharmaceutical antichrist that is turning our little girls into infanticidal murderers.
But just to be clear, you support mifepristone being accessible.
Yes, Kristen, I do.
We need to unite in our demand that the Republicans put an end to this. The pro-life Republican Party, if it's pro-life, needs to put an end to this now, right? You say, oh, it's never going to happen. Really? Because you know what? Let's talk about this, too. Politically speaking, the big compromise on life that divided us, let's face it, was that even necessary at the end of the day? Politically speaking, was it even necessary? CNN had a national exit poll that found that just 14% of Americans actually said that abortion was their top concern. Over 80% of the Christians in this country voted for Trump. And even, surprisingly, a whopping 54% of Catholics voted for Trump. So guess what? The same pro-life Christians who put Trump in the White House in 2016 put him back in the White House in 2024. And after the GOP nixed the 2016 traditional definition of marriage, you'll remember, 86% of the LGBTQ Americans voted for Harris. So let's keep going here. Because here's the message for the GOP. Figure out who's buttering your bread next time, guys, because it ain't the radical left in this country. So who was it? What was the point of the compromise? Some people are saying, well, Trump was, he was courting the Jewish vote. And that's why the GOP made this 2024 platform different than the 2016, because they were actually making it kosher by dropping most of the 2016 pro-life language that the Jews don't like particularly. The anti-pornography plank, not a big deal for Jews. The pro-abstinence education plank, they got rid of all. That was to make it kosher for the Jews. So we're told, right? This is why so many Jews voted for Trump. Wrong again. Fewer Jewish Americans voted for Trump in 2024 than in 2020. Did you know that? A whopping 80% of Jews voted for Kamala Harris. Why? Well, from a sort of moral theological point of view, it's because their Jewish theology does not hold that fetuses have souls, and so terminating a pregnancy is not a crime, right? Now, of course, some Orthodox rabbis denounce abortion, but they are, let's face it, they are the traditionalists, kind of like us. They are the minority. I know some of those guys. Some of them even subscribe to the Remnant newspaper because we have so much in common, but that's the minority. The mainstream Jews overwhelmingly support abortion rights, more than any other religious affiliation in the country, in fact. Now look who tops the list of religions whose adherents hold that abortion should be legal. It's the Jewish religion. And according to myjewishlearning.com, there are no laws in Israel limiting when an abortion can be performed, and most abortions are paid for by the state of Israel. So you'd think that, well, Trump's promise not to ban abortion probably would have, you know, garnered him the Jewish vote. Not so. 80% of Jews voted for Kamala Harris again. So, this is about, ironically, it's about the same percentage of pro-life Christians who voted for Donald Trump in the same election. But friends, we've got to think about the takeaway here, right? This is really, really important moving forward. The takeaway is pro-life Christians are in the driver's seat, whether we realize it or not still. We're in the driver's seat. And if they have the backbone for it, pro-life Christian voters in this country are the voting bloc that controls the Republican Party. We just have to stand up and make some demands next time and threaten not to vote for them if they push us around. You see? I think that's happening. There's no competition for us. We dominate that party, pro-life Christians. No doubt about it. Statistically speaking, domination. And I think Trump knows that. Now, he also knows that that block of Christian voters is divided. And right now they're divided pretty severely over this war in the Holy Land, Israel's war. And the problem is there are many Christians who don't support that war, who want that war to end, who realize there's two sides to that story. And there are lots and lots and lots of folks, conservatives, voters, Christian voters, who oppose it vehemently.
I think we have to understand that this is very much a case of the tail wagging the dog. Here you have a nation of, at least when this began, of a little over 7 million Jewish Israelis plus another million Arabs that are living inside Israel's borders. I mean, the current borders, not including Gaza and the West Bank.
Right.
And we are a nation of what? 330, 340 million. And we are now hostage to whatever Mr. Netanyahu decides to do. Those are the facts. He's in control. He's been in control from the very beginning.
Oh, man, you must be an anti-Semite. That's your problem, Michael Mott. No, this is all across the board. Colonel Douglas McGregor is not a daily communicant. He's not a traditional Catholic, right? He certainly isn't a leftist. He's not a college campus protester, right? He's a tank commander in the Iraq War. Trump appointed him to several different positions. I don't remember what they all are, in the military and as an advisor, right? He was spot on over the past 2 years on the Ukraine-Russian War. And he's obviously no Christian Zionist. This has everything to do, especially now that Trump has won the election, everything to do with something called Christian Zionism. What is Christian Zionism?
Christian Zionism is centered around an end-of-the-world interpretation of Christianity, the belief in the return of Jewish people to Israel, leading to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is one of the common factors that binds Christian Zionists with Zionism.
Christian Zionism predates Jewish Zionism by at least 50 years, and today dominates the Zionist movement at least 10 to 1. And therefore Netanyahu knows he needs the Christian, particularly the Christian right in America, Canada, Sweden, Holland, much of Europe, in order to maintain his position and to continue the expansion of the Zionist agenda in Palestine.
Zachor et asher asa lecha ma'amalek nitztavenu. Anu zochrim v'anu nilchamim.
This is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu defending Israel's current war on Palestine's Gaza with biblical reasoning. Netanyahu invoked the notion of Amalek in reference to a holy war between good and evil cited in the Torah. There are hundreds of organizations in the United States founded by Christian Zionists that call for public support for the state of Israel, the biggest among them being Christians United for Israel, with 10 million members led by the evangelist John Hagee.
God is getting ready to defend Israel in such a supernatural way, it's going to take the breath out of the lungs of the dictators on planet Earth.
Now, from the Catholic point of view, you've got to really understand, this has nothing to do with Catholicism, it has nothing to do with the history, it has nothing to do with the Bible. Christian Zionism is, in fact, a Christian heresy, and a crazy one at that. And for the Christian Zionists, though they claim to be pro-life, Israel's war was their biggest concern when they went to the polls.
The Christians have become the backbone of support for Israel, and so the choice of Mike Huckabee as ambassador reflects that, and I think that's a good thing. I think as a Jew, that's a good thing, that the evangelicals will have our back even more than the Jews. And there, you know, a lot of times Jewish leaders are very nervous about the allegations of dual loyalty. Well, Christians don't have that problem. They have one loyalty. They have loyalty to God and the Word of God. And the Word of God is really crystal clear that America needs to support Israel.
Now, you need to listen to that, okay? Listen to what you just heard, because everybody, as I told you a few weeks ago, if this continues, you're going to be screaming anti-Semite at anybody who's asking questions about what's going on here, right? Well, this guy, this Jewish man, articulate Jewish man, knows what's going on. He's not anti-Semitic, obviously. And it's not anti-Semitic, as he points out, to oppose Israel's war, because as he points out, most Jews oppose it too.
It used to be that the main support for Israel was coming from the Jewish community. And that has really shifted a lot in recent years, that the Jewish community, unfortunately, has really gone in the wrong direction.
Then you have these kind of strange evangelical types. Okay? Now remember, this is not all Protestants. The Lutherans, Anglicans, there are plenty of Protestant non-Catholic Christian denominations, if you will, who are not Christian Zionists at all. But the evangelicals, with this weird little rapture theory of theirs, believe that it's hard. I encourage you to chase a few links around the internet on this so you don't think I'm making it up, because it sounds like I'm trying to be funny. But I'm not trying to be funny. They actually believe, these people, these extremists, that Armageddon in Israel just might usher in the end times, which they're looking forward to. Because then, all the dead Christian believers will be resurrected down here on earth, and they'll join the living Christians, and together, they're all going to be raptured up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I kid you not. That's what they believe. This is real crazy stuff. And by the way, according to the theory, I don't know what the percentage is, something like half or three quarters of the Jews in the Middle East are going to be annihilated when this happens. So if you're a Jew, you don't really want to be a Christian Zionist. And if you're a Christian Zionist, you might want to check that anti-Semitism, because it seems a little bit weird to me that that's what you're looking forward to, the annihilation of three quarters of the Jews. So this is weird. It certainly is not Catholic. It was never heard of, in fact, for the first 1,800 years of the history of Christianity. It's silly, but it's dangerous, and it's weird, and it's a little sect with huge significance and influence inside the Republican Party.
Every time since the founding of Israel, when there have been major wars, American evangelicals who are interested in prophecy have gotten very excited about the possibility that this war is the war that signals the beginning of the return of Jesus to earth, which they believe will happen, and they believe Israel and wars conducted by Israel will be central to that.
Now, Donald Trump is not a Christian Zionist, right? But he understands where his support comes from. It comes from Christianity. And again, half the Christian, a percentage of the Christian voters in this country are Christian Zionists. This is a huge problem for him because it's a well-heeled financial powerhouse support for the GOP.
Evangelicals really punch politically far above their weight. So white evangelicals are far and away the biggest supporters of Donald Trump, for example. And despite representing a small proportion of the population, they do turn out to vote. So yes, they do have a lot of power. They also have a lot of lobbying organizations.
Remember when former US President Donald Trump made a candid confession during a rally in 2020?
And we moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. That's for the evangelicals. You know, it's amazing with that. The evangelicals are more excited about that than Jewish people. It's really, right? It's incredible.
But the reality is, despite that, there are millions and millions of Christian voters in this country and around the world, from Washington to Bethlehem, in fact, who want no part in Israel's genocide war.
Talk about why you're in the United States, Reverend.
I'm here to talk to faith leaders, and particularly church leaders, my own community, to speak louder. Given that we are in the country that's funding this genocide, given that we are in the country that's continues to give political cover to this war in Gaza. So if you're silent, knowing how your money is being spent, that means you approve. And so enough is enough. And I hope that more and more faith leaders, pastors, theologians, clergy, speak up more so that this tragedy in Gaza stops.
He's not a liberal, he's not a leftist. He's a Christian pastor. He's a Palestinian Christian. Most of whom have been wiped out or driven out of the Holy Land. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? That our Christian brothers, have there's been a mass exodus of them from the Holy Land? You know about that? Do you care? So here's one of the few Christian Palestinian pastors left, trying to get the word out. And people, oh, he's like an anti-Semite. No, he's not an anti-Semite. And he certainly isn't a leftist. As I say, he was on Tucker Carlson's show a few months ago.
But what about Gaza? What about the entire region in the Middle East, where, of course, there's very intense fighting going on? Many Christian churches in the United States, particularly evangelical churches, support that. But there is virtually never a word about the Christians who live there, the ancient Christian community in Gaza, the West Bank, and Israel proper. So because no one has said a word, there has been great suffering among the Christian population. Father Isaac, thank you very much for coming on. So let me just ask you a broad question to start. How are Christians in the Holy Land, in the three places I mentioned, West Bank, Israel proper, and Gaza, how are they doing?
One of the biggest problems we're facing right now is the deterioration in our number. People keep leaving because of the political reality. Life under a very harsh Israeli military occupation is difficult.
I'm not trying to convince. If you're skeptical, if this seems new to you, I'm not trying to convince you that you must take my word for all of this. All I'm ever trying to do, as we did with Ukraine and we did with Iraq the first time, the invasion of Iraq, which I totally opposed and was exonerated for having done so some years later, all we're trying to do here is make you ask questions, question the narrative, question the people on TV, question the whole tribalism thing, this is left versus right, right? Tucker Carlson, of course, was accused of anti-Semitism for interviewing that pastor, but who cares? Because you know what? Anti-Semite, in this case, is just another word for anyone who disagrees with the war-mongering neocon Benjamin Netanyahu. That's all it is. So don't be intimidated by that. It's stupid. It doesn't matter. Right now, the whole world is anti-Semitic if they have any sort of objection to the slaughter that's going on over there. No matter who started it, no matter what, I don't get Hamas, whatever you want to talk, what's happening now to the people on the ground, including the Christians, is evil and needs to stop. And that's why some of the most outspoken opponents of Netanyahu's war are Jews.
They call their group Jewish Voice for Peace.
Ceasefire now!
And when President Joe Biden came to New York for a campaign fundraiser, members took to the streets to protest against Israel's war on Gaza and the use of U.S. tax dollars to fund it. Dozens were taken away in handcuffs.
As a Jewish person, I want it perfectly clear to people that not all Jews support this.
So friends, we're Christians. Most in this audience are traditional Catholics. If the Jewish people, who are right there, ringside seats, If they are listening to both sides in this horrific war and saying, well, you know what, there's two sides to this. Come on, calm down. Cooler heads got to prevail. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's look at this. If they're saying that, surely we Christians can at least hear out some of these. I'm not saying we should go talk to Hamas. I'm not saying October 7th was just fine and dandy. It wasn't. This is a brutal thing that's happening between two peoples who are at civil war for a long, long time. But what I am saying is at least we can hear out the folks who are trying to get the message out that they are dying, that their kids, that their women are dying over there, and that somebody needs to come in and broker peace, right? Well, at least we can listen to what they have to say before we contribute to wiping them off the face of the earth, right?
Israel is responsible for the Palestinian civilians it kills. It cannot be absolved of that responsibility. It is killing them purposefully, deliberately, repeatedly, massively. It is starving them on purpose. Nobody can deny it. We sat in this room, we heard every UN agency, every testimony, every NGO, Palestinian, Israeli, international, saying the same things. This is by design.
Oh, who's this guy? What's he know? You know, he's probably one of the... Okay, I'm not telling you to take this guy's word for it. I don't know who this guy is, right? He doesn't seem to be lying to me, though. I sure want to hear if what he's saying is just a bald-faced lie, though. Don't you kind of want to find that out? I'm not on the ground. I can't tell you. But neither are you, right? All we can go by is the TV and the folks that tell us that every conservative patriot America is all for Israel torching every Muslim in the Middle East, in the Holy Land, right? That's a conservative thing. That's what Jesus would do. I can't buy that, right? So as Christian voters, it seems to me that we need to encourage Donald Trump to be Donald Trump. He's not a Christian Zionist. So we need to encourage him to be the guy he wants to be, which is the guy who will tap the brake, right? Tap the brakes, try to sit down and talk to people, try to make a deal, and maybe along the way just tell these Christian Zionist zealots to calm the hell down.
It's Israel's strategy in the occupied territories. And in Gaza, it is to depopulate them and steal more and more land. So there is absolutely no justification for the killing of civilians, for genocide, for the kind of saturation bombing we're seeing in Gaza at the moment. And Netanyahu knows that. And so he's pulling out of scripture a verse here, a verse there, to try and placate his main constituency, which is the Christian Zionist movement.
Because there is this Truth Social post out there that everybody's concerned about, in which President-elect Trump says, quote, if the hostages are not released prior to January 20th, 2025, there will be all hell to pay in the Middle East. Those responsible will be hit harder than anybody has been hit in the long and storied history of the United States of America. Yikes. Now, personally, I think that is saber-rattling. Saber-rattling. He's bluffing. He's pushing. He wants this thing to end, and he's trying to scare people into taking it seriously that that's what he wants. If he's not saber-rattling, well, you'd better get good with God, because this is not going to end well for anyone.
What will the consequences to us be?
This ruthless war of extermination is going to be confronted soon by overwhelming deadly force provided first and foremost by Iran, also augmented and extended by Russia, and I would argue eventually the rest of the Islamic world. The only people that are interested in a war in the region consist of Israel and primarily us. That's it. No one else really wants a war. And this has now attracted the attention of everyone in the Islamic world.
And yet, our Christian Zionist friends are calling for carpet bombing the Muslims in Jesus' name. The Bible says you gotta carpet bomb the Muslims. That's what the Bible says. Here, for example, is Michigan Congressman Tim Walberg, who actually is a former evangelical pastor. Here's what he says.
We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. I agree. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get over quick.
Yeah, well, Timmy, here's what get over it quick looked like just two nights ago over there. Now, I don't care where you come down on Israel or this war. This has to stop. Listen to the screams of those kids and women. This has got to stop, right? We need to demand that the Trump administration stop being Netanyahu's little pal and beating his little war drum for him. Enough of this. I mean, really, this is absurd. Just, you know, I've been supporting Trump for a long time, and I just refuse to believe now that Donald Trump is suddenly going to morph into President Bush III and jump into the neocon war game over there all over again. No, it's not going to happen, friend. There's no way it's going to happen. So we need to find a way to get the word out to the Trump administration that we support him, tapping the brakes, as is his want, as you know he wants to do. Because Donald Trump surely is not with Chuck Schumer on this one.
We stand with Israel!
So again, figure out what we're talking about. Figure out who we're talking about, you know? We're supposed to send our sons and now daughters off to war for Bibi Netanyahu, whose government, by the way, pays for all the abortions in Israel as well? No, thank you, Bibi. Serious Christians in America, as opposed to the children of the Christian Zionist corn, they want this ethnic cleansing to stop, and they want it to stop right now. I mean, really, don't you? Don't we all want it to stop? Find out who the culprit is. Find out where the terrorists are, whatever. But stop this so we can find out what's going on, right? I mean, please, not again. Not another Iraq debacle. Not another Afghanistan nightmare for nothing, for no reason, because some idiot neocon wanted to go blow up the world.
Jared Kushner is a longtime family friend of Benjamin Netanyahu. The Kushner family, like the Trump family, are in the real estate business, and the Kushners have been doing business in Israel for years. Earlier this year, Jared spoke of Gaza's valuable waterfront property.
There are real fears on the part of Arabs, and I'm sure you talk to a lot of them, who think once Gazans leave Gaza, Netanyahu's never going to let them back in.
Maybe, but I'm not sure there's much left of Gaza at this point. I mean, Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable. It's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there, but I think from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. I think proactively recognizing a Palestinian state would essentially be rewarding an act of terror that was perpetrated into Israel. So it's a super bad idea in that regard.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
So that just after all these years of trying to wipe them out, take them out, they're pretty much now saying it's a done deal, right? But the thing is, friends, pro-life Christian Americans, not Jared Kushner, put Trump in the White House this time again. So I think that we have as much of a right as Jared Kushner to demand the opposite of what he wants to do, to demand the end of this madness. We have the right, I think, also to demand that either Trump or Vance now make a personal appearance on the Mall in January for the National Right to Life March as well, right? We have the right to make some demands. That's the whole point of this show is. The left didn't vote for him, so we don't want the leftists in control of this administration. We voted for him, so we have the right and the duty and the obligation. And I'll say also, we haven't given up on Trump. You know, we supported him for 8 years. I'm not just going to walk away from that. But he needs to make up his mind. Who's it going to be? What is his base? Is it the pro-life folks or is it the pro-death folks who didn't vote for him? Is it the Ave Maria he plays at his rallies or is it the YMCA crowd? Is it Notre Dame? Or is it Oh Hell Shabbat Lubavitch? Now, let's just come to the present, full circle, right? Start fresh. This weekend, what we know is that President-elect Donald Trump is celebrating the reopening of the most famous Catholic cathedral in the world. That's the visual I want to leave you with tonight. This is the cathedral dedicated to the Queen Mother of Christ the King. So this isn't necessarily something that's just all about Donald Trump, right? There's more going on here. This is part of a much bigger picture. And Trump's an important player in that picture. But it's much bigger. As traditional Catholics, we know this, right? Our war has always been much bigger. We always looked at the Donald Trumps of this world as possible a force of assistance or aid to those of us who are fighting for the proclamation of the social kingship of Jesus Christ, right? That would buy us time. That's why it's great that Kamala Harris is gone. It's great that the Democrats fell. It's great that the Great Reset is collapsing. We're going to celebrate that. But part of this visual that you see of this bizarre, interesting, fascinating scene of Donald Trump in Notre Dame, part of this is the result of millions of Christian Americans who didn't give up on this guy. Millions who were locked down, by the way, in a global psyop that affected a lot of people. I don't know that any of us are quite the same. Millions of you have been praying for this country, for our country, for Trump, right? Millions of you remember, as I do, celebrating the fact that when Trump first came in, oddly enough, once again, he kicked off his presidency 2016 with a photo of Father Andrew Mahana, the priest who exorcised the White House, by the way, and then gave Trump, what, a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, and there, look in his hands, a rosary. Again, this is bigger than Trump. People say, that's just a photo op. Well, maybe it is. That's just politics. Maybe it is. But see, Our Lady always finds a way, doesn't she? So I don't care if it was a political stunt or not. She was there then, and she's now here again. She's there again right now. Whether Trump understands why she's there or not, that's not the issue. And so lots of you will be tempted to say, hey, man, don't fall for it, man. He's just doing this for power. I don't care why he's doing it. Fact is, it's happening. And this is bigger than him. It's bigger than Republicans. It's bigger than Trump. This is a war, in fact, that no non-Catholic politician could possibly understand as we do. This is a war against God, wherein man's rejection of God and his law will lead to the annihilation of many nations, including perhaps our own. So the figure of this woman who keeps showing up and who they just can't seem to get rid of, she just keeps making entrances. And she's the one who over 100 years ago predicted, prophesied that the good would be martyred in the days to come and that various nations would be annihilated. Well, here you go.
You are witnessing the attempt to annihilate a nation.
They're using her own words now to describe this divine chastisement through which we're living. And that's what this is. It's a divine chastisement. We have to remember, we're traditional Catholics, we have to understand what this fight, what this war is all about. We have to remember, unite the clans, friends, and get ready for the real war that we've always been engaged in, right? The war to end all wars. The war between Christ and Antichrist. The war she's talking about. The war between good and evil. Between the children of light and the children of darkness. And the question for all of us today is, quite simply, where do we stand?